The Fate Quest, a tale from the land of Ononokin by John P. Logsdon and Christopher P. Young. Read for you by Just Sargent. Produced by Living Audio CIC. Chapter 1. About the Land of Ononokin. The Land of Ononokin is much like other lands, though quite different at the same time. There is land, air, trees, clouds, storms, rivers, oceans, mountains, and so on, but there is also a divide that separates two distinct realities. One of these realities is known as the Upper World. It's quite medieval in nature. The people travel by horse, live in brick and wooden homes, and spend the majority of their time either farming, taverning, or both. Other than your standard fare professions of metalsmith, bricklayer, and the like, the Upper World is the home of knights and wizards. Many races share this Upper World, including humans, elves, dwarves, halflings, giants, gorgons, and dragons. Most of the time, they live harmoniously. The second reality is called the Underworld. This is not because it is some den of evil. Rather, it's because when the two halves were being named, the Upperworlders got to the naming table first, and, thinking themselves more important than their neighbours, they convinced the 12 to grant them the loftier title. Who were the 12? We'll get to that in a moment. The Underworld acts as home to many races, including all of those from the Upperworld. The additional ones are dark elves, dark dwarves, dark halflings. Are you catching a theme here? Vampires, trolls, orcs, ogres, werewolves, and gnomes. Just like their upper world relations, underworlders work in various jobs that keep the economy going. The primary difference is that they don't churn out knights and wizards. Actually, they find magic a tad unsettling. Instead, their society relies on electricity, talky thingies, computers, and various other digital wonders. Back to the 12. These are essentially the gods that watch over Ononokin. Not very many people believe that they actually exist, but many pay homage to them anyway, just in case. There are 12 to represent all of the races. Now, of course, they didn't bother to duplicate any of the 12 to cover the doubled races like elves and dark elves. And before you ask, the reason there aren't 13 is because the dragons denied involvement, believing that they were godlike enough all on their own. The Upperworld and Underworld are separated by a thin layer of reality. Underworlders are well aware of their Upperworld cousins, having created a portal system that allows travel between the two realities, but only an elite class of Upperworlders know about the other side. For the common Upperworlder, though, vampires, werewolves, and so on are merely fictional tales and folklore. Chapter 2. Birthday. Master Wizard Zebdigan Wizfiddle had spent the majority of his life running quests of all sorts, but today he turned 650 and he was growing tired. Fact was that most wizards didn't live this long, or if they did, they'd lost the majority of their mental acuity. The running gag was that if you were to make it as far as 700, you would have the greatest surprise party of all time. This was because you could plan the event for yourself, and you'd still be surprised. He stood at the bar of Libertin's Tavern, an upscale pub that had great wine, food, and ambiance. Unfortunately, they offered a poor excuse for an ale, but it was the only thing on the menu cheap enough to fit Wizfiddle's budget. Well, that and bread. At this point in his life, Wizfiddle had thought he'd saved enough money to retire. Sadly, he wasn't good with money. Well, he was quite adept at spending it, but saving it, no. He had tried his hand at investing during his younger years. Unfortunately, he couldn't spot a decent stock in the underworld to save his life. One of the more notorious companies that he'd invested in had a product that promised to restore lost hair. He assumed it was a sure thing, and, in fact, it actually worked, just not the way it was expected. While it was intended to regrow hair on the head, it turned out to affect only the back. After all of the lawsuits were done, Wizfiddle saw his entire investment exhausted. If he'd had any money left to invest during that time, he would have made a killing by pouring it into Backshavers LLC. So instead of being ready for retirement, he had a second mortgage on his cottage that would take at least 5 years to pay off, and there was another 12 years remaining on the first mortgage. Some people lived paycheck to paycheck. Wizfiddle lived quest to quest. He groaned as he watched another man tip back a mug while grimacing. Subpar ale or not, Wizfiddle would drink it. This was because alcohol was his magical power source, which was both a blessing and a curse. While Wizfiddle required booze to fuel his magic, it was a one-to-one ratio of drunkenness to power. In other words, if he wished to cast a simple spell, a few sips of ale would do the trick. But were he expected to launch an engulfing attack against an incoming army, he'd have to be utterly drunk. The problem, of course, was that if he was blistered enough to conjure such a spell, he'd be too muddled of mind to actually accomplish it. Still, it was one area that, relatively speaking, he'd been fortunate. Every wizard had their own particular source for power. Some of the more extreme cases of power sources included a woman who had to chew grubs while tap dancing on a bed of nails, a man who had to knock himself on the head with a particular type of rock while simultaneously punching himself in the stomach, and another man who had to jump off the highest cliffs. He had continued casting the Don't Let Me Smack the Ground spell over and over until he had become so fatigued that he had ultimately succumbed to the finality of gravity. Wizfiddle reached into his pocket and felt the meagre offering of silvers left to him. Tomorrow, he would have to seek out another quest in order to pay the bills. His shoulders slumped. He had no idea what kind of quest he'd get, but he assumed it would be something dreadful like saving a princess or winning back a kingdom. There were rarely quests that were new to a wizard of his advanced years.
"Good day to you, Mr. Wizfiddle, sir," said a young bartender by the name of Gilly. "I believe today is your birthday celebration, yeah?" "That it is, Gilly," Wizfiddle replied, shocked that the young man had remembered.
He looked Gilly over. The man was bulky yet kindly-looking. He had greasy black hair, bluish eyes, and a genuine smile that revealed dental care was not a high priority.
"Please do keep it down, though," he said, loudly enough to ensure that those around him heard. "I don't want anyone making a fuss on my account."
Nobody seemed to care. He sighed.
"An ale on the house, sir,"
Gilly said as he put a fresh mug on the counter.
"It's not the best tonight. A tad bitter, if you ask me."
Wizfiddle took a sip and his face scrunched up. It was bitter, and there was barely enough alcohol in it to even give him the slightest magical tingle.
"Horrible excuse for an ale," he spat, "but I thank you for making it free. Some day, sir," said Gilly with resolve, "I'm going to have me own pub, and when I do, I'll be sure to make an ale you'd be proud to drink."
Wizfiddle smiled and nodded at the young man.
"Good lad, Gilly. I hope one day we'll get your wish." "We? Aye. It'll be nice to have a decent ale in this town."
He cracked his back.
"Not sure I'll be around for it, though, as I fear me rickety bones will soon give out."
"Nay, sir,"
Gilly replied appraisingly.
"Why, you don't look a day over 700, sir."
"I'm 650, Gilly."
"Sorry, sir."
"Not to worry,"
Wizfiddle answered after a moment.
"I do feel as though 700 is more apropos. Not that I'm complaining, mind you. Most don't even make it to half my age."
Gilly nodded and then walked off to help another customer as Wizfiddle forced down the rest of the ale in one go. He'd got just enough of a surge through his veins to make him feel pleasurable. This wasn't to be confused with the general feeling one got from the alcohol itself. While that was nice too, it was literally the magic that pulsed through his person that made drinking worthwhile. Were it not for that, he would more likely be having a spot of tea instead. When he opened his eyes, he found that he was no longer in Libertine's Tavern. He was somewhere entirely different. Where Libertine's had weather-worn tables, the ones in this place were perfectly stained and solid. Where Libertine's smelled of stew and wine, this place smelled of stew and whiskey. And where Wizfiddle had been standing at the bar at Libertine's, here he was sitting at a table across from a flawless-looking man, and if Wizfiddle's eyes weren't fooling him, there was a golden aura surrounding the fellow. Sometimes ale would blur Wisfiddle's vision momentarily, but it had never transported him to another place, at least not literally. Libertine's booze simply wasn't good enough to allow for that. Normal people would have jumped up, screamed, and lost their minds, but to a wizard who had seen almost every imaginable oddity over the life of 650 years, Wisfiddle simply said, "Hello." Chapter 3. The Quest. Wisfiddle was not one to be jolted by things, especially when there was ale or whiskey involved, and based upon the scene that had unfolded before him, there was clearly much of both.
"My name is Heliok," said the man, who sat across the table. "And you are Zebdigan Wisfiddle, yes?"
"I am."
"Just to be sure that I have the proper Zebdigan Wisfiddle," Heliok said, "your original name was Lenny Flepp, correct?"
"It was," answered Wisfiddle, thinking that it was highly unlikely that there ever lived another Zebdigan, though maybe there was one or two Wisfiddles somewhere in history.
"Well, Mr. Wisfiddle, today is your lucky day."
"Is that so?"
"Do you know where you are?"
Wisfiddle glanced around again and took a sip of the mug that sat before him. His eyes brightened as the malted beverage danced upon his taste buds. Never in all of his years had he ever imbibed such a miraculous ale. It was full-bodied, yet tempered, sweet but mildly so, and it held a kick that sent his magical reserves to near bursting.
"I'm guessing I died and this is the afterlife," he answered, while staring blissfully at the mug.
The afterlife was a great thing if you had been mostly a good person during your life. There were 12 gods, one for each race, human, ogre, orc, halfling, and so on, living in the land of Ononokin. If you believed in one of the gods, and you were good, you ended up living in that god's area for all eternity. If you were agnostic, you immediately learned that the gods did exist, making it impossible for you to remain agnostic. However, since the entire god business was all new to you, they put you in a special area of the afterlife where you were waited on night and day, with each god putting his or her best foot forward in an effort to get you to choose them as your personal god. It was literally living in a paradise that required nothing of you but consideration regarding the various gods. Interestingly, not a single agnostic had ever selected a god in the afterlife. Finally, if you were an atheist, you were never subjected to the afterlife at all. Instead, you remained devoid of feeling or sensation until you were put through a gigantic soul zapper, which looked somewhat like a bug zapper. It wasn't in any way cruel, and it wasn't a punishment. It simply gave the person what they had believed to be true. Nothingness. Now, if you were a bad person, you had to work for all of eternity serving those who had been good, and no weekends off either. Heliok gave him a funny look and then said,
"Ah, yes, I often forget that you wizards know all the ins and outs about the afterlife, but no, that's not where you are."
"Have I ascended then?"
"No."
"Maybe I'm unconscious and imagining all of this."
"Would you be so clear of mind, were that the case?" Heliok questioned.
"I haven't a clue," said Wisfiddle, gazing lovingly at the ale. "I've never been serenely unconscious before."
"Fair enough."
Heliok sat back and downed a shot of whiskey.
"Maybe I shall cut to the chase, yes?"
"If you feel you must,"
Wisfiddle replied, pointing at one of the shot glasses questioningly.
"Oh, certainly,"
Heliok said, pushing the glass across.
"There are many delicious concoctions in here for you to enjoy. We also have a wonderful stew if you're hungry."
Wisfiddle looked down at his belly.
"Just to be clear, am I dead?"
"You're not."
"Damn,"
he replied.
"Well, then, I shall have to avoid the stew for now. I'm on a bit of a meal modification program, you see."
"Ah."
Wisfiddle threw the whiskey back and felt his brain melt. He could have sworn that he'd even heard a choir of angels sing a resounding ta-da.
"You were saying?"
he asked, as the warmth of bliss coated his person.
"You were in the land of the fates," Heliok said.
"Honestly," Wisfiddle replied, sobering a bit, "you're not pulling me leg."
Heliok looked confused.
"I don't believe so."
"Huh,"
Wisfiddle snorted.
Well, this is definitely not something I would have expected. I mean, I'd heard rumours, of course, what with the 12 and all.
Our invention, that,
Heliox said proudly.
What?
The 12. We created them.
So the stories go, yes.
They can be rather persnickety at times, Heliox said, but they do try.
I'm sure they do.
Wisfiddle leaned forward and put his elbows on the table.
I'm sorry. Why did you bring me here again? If it's to offer me a lifetime supply of this ale, I'll take it.
No, it's not that. You can only have that level of booze in our world, I'm afraid.
Okay, well, if it's to offer me the chance to live in your world so that I can have a lifetime of this ale, I accept.
Sorry, nope,
Heliox said.
You're here because we're offering you a fate quest.
You want me to do a quest for you?
It's more a quest for you,
answered Heliox with a grin. Wisfiddle brought the mug to his lips again and took another look around. He had been so enamoured with the alcohol that he hadn't originally noticed the other tables. Sitting at each of them were two beings, some human, some not. There were orcs, ogres, halflings, dwarfs, and so on. All of them were sitting with a counterpart that looked like they did, though each of those had the same golden aura that surrounded Heliox. Obviously, Wisfiddle was not alone in this offering.
Go on.
I see that you've caught on that we have others from your world here, said Heliox.
Wisfiddle nodded.
We try our best to look like you so that we don't frighten you upon arriving.
A new man blinked into a chair at another table and screamed.
It doesn't always work.
What do you really look like?
Ventured Wisfiddle. In response, Heliox snapped his fingers and turned into a dark green creature with bright red eyes. His teeth were long and pointy, and he appeared to have a permanently etched evil grin.
That's not so bad, said Wisfiddle, as he tried not to wince.
No?
Wisfiddle shrugged.
To be fair, I've had a few ales.
Right,
Heliox replied, and then snapped himself back to look like a human again.
Well, let's get back to business, shall we?
Okay.
Every one of your years, we bring in a handful of your people and offer them a quest. Not everyone is given the opportunity, obviously, and some refuse the offer outright.
Heliox paused to have another shot of whiskey.
If you accept the quest, you may ask for whatever it is you wish, except for the booze. If you succeed at completing the quest, you'll receive your requested reward.
Diamonds,
Wisfiddle stated without pause.
A bag of diamonds.
Sorry?
That's what I want.
But you've not even heard what the quest is yet.
What's that got to do with anything?
Wisfiddle said.
I'm 650 years old, lad.
I'm 39,000 of your years, child,
Heliox said sharply.
Right, sorry. Well, in my years, on my world, I've seen just about everything. So this quest of yours, whatever it may be, doesn't concern me in the least.
I see,
said Heliox.
Why diamonds?
I'm looking to retire. I'm too old to keep taking quests, but I've got a damn mortgage payment to keep up, so I want to have something to suck away and live off during me golden years.
Makes sense, I suppose.
Glad you approve,
Wisfiddle stated with a wink.
Now, what do I have to do?
You have to conquer a gorgon.
Wisfiddle didn't even flinch.
Simple enough.
And you can't use magic.
This time he flinched.
How am I supposed to accomplish...
Wait!
Heliox said as he put his finger up as a smile crept onto his face.
Wait! I've got an even better idea that won't require you to conquer a gorgon.
Phew!
Instead, you'll have to teach them basic mathematics.
What?
Wisfiddle said, bolting upright.
Can we go back to the conquering option?
Heliox grinned.
Nope.
But that was at least plausible. This is ridiculous. Why, the only thing tougher that I can imagine would be making elves not gay.
Elves are gay?
Asked Heliox.
Shouldn't you know? Challenged Wisfiddle. You created them.
No, we created the 12.
Isn't one of them an elf?
Hmm.
Heliox leaned back and crossed his arms.
Anyway, If you wish to have your bag of diamonds, you'll need to get a group of Gorgons to say that 1 + 1 = 2.
Impossible! Wizfiddle shrieked. Can't be done!
It's not like we can make these quests easy, my man. If we did that, we'd be naught more than a charity shop.
That would work for me.
I'll bet it would, Heliox said with a smirk.
Fine, Wizfiddle said, thinking again about those diamonds. What happens if I fail at this quest?
We strip you naked and put you in a remote area of the world without your diamonds.
Seriously?
No, Heliox said with a chuckle. I'm only messing with you. Had you going, though?
Very funny, Wizfiddle said curtly.
We'll send you back home, Heliox said, and then added, after wiping your memory, of course.
Okay, and what if I refuse to participate?
Death!
What?
Wizfiddle said, spilling his ale.
Got you again!
Heliox said with a full-on laugh. Wizfiddle wiped the ale off his robe.
You're a regular comedian, you know that.
Thanks! I've been working on new material for about 20,000 years!
Might want to keep working on it, murmured the wizard.
What was that?
Nothing. You weren't joking about the diamonds, though, right?
Nope,
Heliox said seriously.
If you complete the quest, you'll get those as promised. If you fail, you'll go through the memory-wiping thing and then get sent home.
Wizfiddle took another look around as he thought things through.
I suppose I've got nothing to lose.
Unless the Gorgons smash you, of course,
Heliox pointed out.
Right. Except for that.
Chapter 4. Gorgon. Gorgon is not a place for the faint of heart. Everything is gigantic. Daisies are the size of shrubs, shrubs are the size of trees, and the trees are so tall that you'd get dizzy trying to see the top of them. Wizfiddle had been through Gorgon on a few occasions via the portal system that was run by those in the underworld, but he'd never stuck around for any length of time. It simply wasn't wise to hang out in this area of Ononokin, especially if you were the size of a somewhat overweight human wizard who was patently incapable of running. The creatures that lived in Gorgon called themselves, not surprisingly, Gorgons. They weren't what you would call highly creative. Where giants were known to grow to 20 feet tall, Gorgons could reach upwards of 40 feet. In other words, giants considered Gorgons to be huge. To really drive the point home, Gorgons had no problems with dragons. To them, dragons were nothing but
widow birdies that burped fire.
Now, one may imagine that Gorgons would be fierce and violent, and one would be right, sort of. Gorgons had learned to be violent towards the little people over hundreds of years. This is because the little people had a tendency of setting up fealty quests that involved the slaying of Gorgons and dragons. Due to this, Gorgons had a simple rule when it came to the smaller races of Ononokin. Kill them on sight. This meant that Wizfiddle couldn't merely walk into the group and wave his hellos. Well, technically, he could do that, but it would end in his personal demise. Of course, the likelihood of him completing this fate quest was nil, and so he was most certainly facing death in either case. But he wasn't dead yet, and while he hated the concept of working, as any sane-minded wizard does, he couldn't help but be pulled in by a challenge. Keeping to the base of the trees, Wizfiddle navigated through the land of Gorgon until the ground began to shake. It was a sure sign that there were Gorgons in the area. It could also have meant that there were other animals around, which reminded Wizfiddle that Gorgons weren't the only threats in the area. The smallest cat this close in would see Wizfiddle as a tasty treat indeed. He stopped and thought about what Heliox had said regarding the use of magic on this quest. Originally, he was supposed to have conquered one of the Gorgons, and for that he was disallowed wizardry. But after the quest had been changed, there were no definite instructions on the topic.
You may not use magic to teach the Gorgons mathematics, the voice of Heliox said in Wizfiddle's mind.
Thank you for the clarification.
You got it, buddy.
Wizfiddle pulled forth a flask that he kept on his person for just this sort of situation and took a big swig. A moment later, he cast a spell of hiding on himself and continued his walk deeper towards the rumbling earth. With the spell enacted, they would neither see nor smell him. He could still inadvertently get stepped on, obviously, but as long as he stayed near the base of the trees, that wasn't likely.
"Throw me the ball,"
said a booming voice. Suddenly, the ground bounced harder and harder. Wizfiddle was knocked from his feet and jostled about as if he were at the epicenter of an earthquake. A final crash brought him face to eye with a Gorgon.
"Yay!"
the Gorgon yelled, in such a deafening volume that Wizfiddle screamed in response,
"I caught the ball!"
In the distance, Wizfiddle heard the returning call of "Yay!" from the other Gorgons. He whimpered.
"There's somebody here," the Gorgon in front of him said. "I thought I heard a scream from a widow guy."
Wizfiddle held his breath, along with his bladder.
"Hello? Hello?"
Even plugging his ears, it was loud. What he needed to do was cast a spell of earmuffs, but he'd be caught the moment he said a word.
"That weird stuff,"
said the Gorgon.
"Oh, well, I guess I just send out the cats to find the guy."
"Wait!"
The Gorgon smiled and said,
"Know it. Where are you?"
"I'm hiding," answered Wizfiddle.
"Why?"
"Because you'll smash me."
"True, that Gorgon way."
"I know. That's why I'm hiding."
"Is you here to stick spears in us or something? We don't like that stuff, you know."
"No, I'm not here to hurt you," answered Wizfiddle. "Actually, I'm here to teach you how to do basic mathematics."
"What that mean?"
"How to work with numbers," explained Wizfiddle.
"I don't know nobody with that name. I work with a guy named Rebo, and another guy named Punzo, and a girl named Kugli, but nobody named numbers. My name be Kaboom."
"Hello, Kaboom," said Wizfiddle. "My name is Zebdigan Wizfiddle."
"That a weird name."
"Thanks. Listen. If I stop hiding, will you smash me?"
"Probably."
"Is there anything I can say that would make you not smash me?"
"You could say you is a Gorgon."
"Even if I'm not a Gorgon?"
"How am I supposed to know what you is or not?"
"Have you ever seen a tiny Gorgon?" asked Wizfiddle.
"No, but I ain't never seen nowhere neither. Don't mean that it ain't there."
"Right,"
Wizfiddle said, thinking that maybe being smashed wasn't such a bad idea. It would be quick and probably painless, and being that he was agnostic, it would turn out well for him anyway in the long run. Still, as much as he hated starting quests, he despised giving up on them even more.
"Okay, well, I'm a Gorgon then."
"You is?"
"Sure."
"I never seen a widow Gorgon before,"
Kaboom said excitedly. Wizfiddle decided that, crazy or not, it was worth the risk. He took a sip from his flask, said a little spell, and then brightened into view.
"Wow,"
Kaboom said as Wizfiddle rematerialized.
"You look like my friend Hop. Well, not no more. Him fell off a cliff."
"Sorry to hear that."
"It happens,"
Kaboom said with a shrug before pushing himself back to full height. Wizfiddle scuttled off behind a tree as quickly as possible while readying another spell to hide himself again.
"Where you going? I'm not gonna hurt you. You is Gorgon, right?"
Sure, said Wizfiddle.
Kaboom reached his hand down and put it near the edge of the trees. Wizfiddle swallowed hard, looked up at the sky, though he couldn't explain why exactly, and then skittered over and climbed into Kaboom's hand. The wind rushed as the Gorgon brought Wizfiddle up to eye level. The elderly wizard held on to the beast's thumb as